Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord,
you
made
the world. You know, it's not good enough to be a Christian who claims to worship God and not know the critical knowledge and information about who God is. Jesus said in John 4:24, he said, "You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know. You worship what you do not know." So it's possible to worship God, John 4, verse 22. You worship what you do not know. But we are coming to the place where we can say, like Jesus said, we worship who we know. And we've been looking at the important question, who is God? Around here, in this part of the world, it's very easy to assume the issue about God is not a big deal, it's not a problem. But when you go to Europe and America now, I'm telling you, the subject of God is a very critical thing, because in Europe today, over 70% of the population do not believe in God. I mean, you can meet people who tell you, "I don't believe that there is God." Because over the years, there's been the effort instigated by the devil, of course, through scientists and philosophers to disprove the existence of God, to make people believe that the issue about God is just a religious thing with no sense, no meaning. And there are very critical questions that arise anytime you talk about God. And we will be looking at some of these questions as we study more. If you don't know the Bible very well, some of these very intelligent people can floor you and make you look stupid for believing in God. I mean, they can ask you very critical questions and, you know, you will be wondering, true, let's think about this again. Is there really a God? If there's God, why is there so many evil things happening in the world? How can God allow so much evil things to happen? Yesterday, I was at a funeral. Beautiful, godly, good lady. A pastor's wife, and she died of cancer. And this pastor have fasted and prayed, and they've done everything. How can you say there's God when such things happen? How can you explain that to somebody who is confused? You say there's God. Did you pray? Yes. They fasted, they sowed seed, they believed God, they confessed their faith, they did everything, and the lady died. But you said good people are protected by God. There's an evil person walking about, dying at 100. So how do you explain these things, you see? So people will challenge your reasoning. That is why I always say Christianity is not stupid. Don't just be there and think that Christianity is stupidity. No, you have to be very intelligent. Otherwise, you cannot be able to deal with the intellectual realities of the complicated nature of life. I think that was the problem Adam had when Satan asked Eve a simple question. And the confusion starts always with a question. Satan asked Eve a simple question. Did God say you should not eat of any fruit? And then they couldn't answer the question well. And the rest is where we are now. So people ask you questions like, who is God? You say, there's God. Who is God? Where does he come from? Who gave birth to him? Who created him? How did he come into existence? And we're trying to deal with these questions right from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We've learned from this scripture that God created time. He created time and he created the universe. And so the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible, was not created, but he created all things. And when you understand the fact that there is something called eternity, it helps you, it simplifies the whole question about where he came from and all the very many questions. You know, there's somewhere else that the Bible talks about the beginning. In John chapter 1, verse 1, you see the same statement. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This scripture is indirectly saying in the beginning was God, because the Word is God. So John was trying to rephrase Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. So all things created by God, he himself was not created. And that is very important. It forms the basis for everything that we are studying. Very, very important. Because before time began, God existed. And that is what we call eternity. You know, in the book of Psalm 90, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That word everlasting to everlasting is referring to eternity. That means without beginning, without end. And there are very, very simple ways that God has answered very complicated questions about God that we need to know. Amen. And we'll study more about this. But today, I want to answer another important question. How can you prove that God exists? How can you prove that God exists? You know, in the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Romans 1, verse 18, it said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So this scripture is saying that there are people who suppress the truth. They try to deny the truth, even though everything about God is manifested in them. God reveals himself, has revealed himself to humanity in various ways that makes it impossible for anybody to deny that there is God, and yet there are people who still suppress the truth for an important reason that we'll find out soon. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says, since the beginning of the world, God is invisible. You cannot see him. But and yet you can see his works. You can see his works. The man who designed this structure, I was not here when it was done. You know, I had an engineer designed it. He's not here. We can't see him. But his work is still here. I mean, this building didn't just happen. Somebody designed it that it should be done and supervised its construction. And you may not see the person, but his work is testifying to his name, is testifying to his handiwork. Hello? So the Bible says that no one has an excuse to say, I don't know. Because there is so much God has done on earth today that even though he himself is invisible, he can still be discerned and be known. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, God exists. He has revealed himself physically, visibly, through his works. Through his works. You know, if you read the book of Psalm 8, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. How did God manifest his glory? Verse 2. He said, out of the mouth of babies and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider, look at it. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have. You see, when you begin to look at creation, you cannot but marvel at God. See, when you study nature, I mean, one of the ways that, you know, last Sunday I was saying, this year, everybody should try and study a little bit about the universe. I think nature itself speaks a lot about God. If you read a little about it. Because unfortunately, in Africa, we don't have the privilege to explore and to travel and see things. Poverty won't allow us to do that. But today, there is a lot of work going on where people want to travel to space on holidays. It costs a lot of money, but people are so rich, they don't know what to do with their money. So they want to pay for that and travel to space. People pay money when they are on holidays. They go into the oceans, into the, how do you call this place? Into the deep seas. I mean, you can go many miles under the sea, just watch things. I mean, an ordinary thing like traveling by air in an aeroplane, that alone will, because you will look down and see a lot of things. Sometimes when you're flying over the ocean, or sometimes you're flying over a desert, or sometimes when you are flying over land and you see rivers, you see mountains, you see valleys, you see vegetation, you see the wonder of God's creation. You see, so there are many things God has done just to announce that He is. Just to announce that He is. But the Bible says that despite this, people still are so stubborn that they want to suppress the truth. They want to deny the existence of God. And there's a reason why people do this. Let's go back to Romans 1 and we'll find the reason. Verse 23, Romans 1, 23. He said, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Why do people deny the existence of God? Because the moment you agree that there is God, you have to submit yourself under Him and worship Him. People want to be free to do what they like. People want to be free to do evil. And the only way they can be free to do evil is to say, there's no God. Life just happened. So we live it anyhow we like. We die, finish. You see? So in the quest for an easy way to do evil, people began to invest into, you know, scientific foolishness to just cancel out the existence of God. And there are many, many scientists that have been paid a lot of money by very ungodly people who have money. And that's why money is powerful. And that's why if you say God should make you rich, you understand why he should make you rich, because people are spending a lot of money to promote evil, to sponsor evil. So there are many philosophers, you know, philosophy is a beautiful thing, but the devil has used it to unfortunately mess the world up. There are many philosophers who have written a lot of books, you know, people like Richard Dawkins, Friedrich Nietzsche, Bertrand Russell, many volumes of great thinking, you see. So the devil looks for thinkers, and then he gives them money and said, argue against the existence of God. Argue against it. Make people not believe it. And if you go to Europe today, I mean, the devil is winning the day, but it's going to change, amen? In our lifetime, it's going to change. Yeah, and you know how it will change? When rich people begin to invest in things like this, teachings like this, to counter what the devil has done. Therefore, God also gave them up. God said, if you say, I'm not there, you can do what you like. You can do what you like. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for what? The lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So mankind was created to worship. If you say there's no God, you will still worship something. Okay, that's why by now, right now as I'm talking, if you go to Europe by now, stadiums are full. The match will be in the afternoon too, but they are in church. The stadiums are full. They will be there till the match is played. That is worship, isn't it? Because they pay money. We come here and worship our God and give freely. We don't pay gate fee to come and hear the word of God and be prayed for and to be blessed. You come freely and you give an offering. Somebody said that is evil. It's not good. It's stupid. You go and pay money to be entertained. And the 22 people on the park that are playing make money out of what you pay at the gate. They are very rich. Some of them are paid $100,000 a week. A week. Some of them are paid £500,000 a week. So Europe says we don't believe in God, but they are worshiping something else. They turn the chapels into casinos. If you go to Europe today, a lot of church buildings are turned into casinos, nightclubs, because they don't believe in God. But they worship something else. But Bible said they worship the creature rather than the creator. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. You see, you understand why it's very easy for somebody in Europe to say, I am a woman, but I don't believe in marrying a man. I want to marry a woman. Because if you go to church, you can't do that. So what the devil did was take the church out of the society first. Then what animals don't even do? You see, because I've never seen a male goat chasing a male goat in my life. Or a male dog jumping over another male dog. So what even animals don't do, human beings who say they don't believe in God are doing it. They have become worse than animals. It's sad. You see, when you take God out of your life, you can become a mess. And they are bold about it. What a shame. They turn the natural use of their women against nature. Verse 27. Likewise, also men, leaving their natural use of the women, burn in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. Men said, I love men. Women say, I love women. Give me the next verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting. So God has given them up to a debased mind. Their minds are reduced beyond human. All right. So Psalm 14 summarizes it for us. Psalm 14 verse 1. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. He said, only a fool can get up in this our world and say there's no God. Okay, so let me give you seven reasons to prove that there is God. Number one is instinct. Instinct. When we say instinct, what do we mean? How many of you were taught in school that there is God? Inherent in everybody, every human being, is the consciousness, is the awareness. When people are born and they start growing, they naturally become aware of a supreme being. Is it true? Is it true? Yeah. In Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Acts 17, 23, Apostle Paul was preaching in, Athens. Was it Athens? Yes, Athens. I think this thing happened in Athens. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. You see, Athens was a strong idol-worshipping nation. And Paul couldn't plant any church in that town because the idolatry was another level. And they had altars for all their God, altar to the moon, altar to the sun. They worshipped different. Then they did another altar. This one, they didn't ascribe any God to it. They said, to the unknown God. In other words, Paul was talking to the people that, look, you people already know that beyond the sun, the moon, the sea, and everything you worship, there is still somebody else. Look at Genesis 4:26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. You know, God created mankind. God was relating with Adam and Eve every day. They sinned against God. God drove them out of the garden. They were now on their own. And they began to multiply, give birth and multiply. You know, at a point, Cain and Abel went to worship God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, rejected Cain. Cain killed Abel. Then Adam and Eve gave birth to Seth. Mankind began to multiply. But Bible said that a time came, everybody began to call upon God. Because inherent in everybody, you see, when I say inherent, it's that the thing is inborn. We are born with it. Just like we are born with the ability to do evil. How many of you were taught how to lie? When you start growing, by the time you cross six, you start... Have you ever lied somewhere? When you left the place, you ask yourself, wow, how did I do this one? You say, how did I... You know, like, you almost caught, but you don't know how it happened. That is instinct. There are things nobody taught us. Yeah. There are things nobody taught us. I think there is an adage in Akan like that, that nobody teaches. What does that mean? Nobody teaches a child who God is. God himself created you and put within you that awareness. Now listen, this is what brought about religion. If you see people trying to worship idols, it is the yearning to know God. That out of ignorance, they didn't know how to get to that God, so they thought, well, I can get to God through my idol. But the original motivation for every religion, religious practice, whether it is Hindu, Buddhism, every religion, the drive of the religion is to know God. So how can you say that something doesn't exist that has such a strong, compelling attention on the human race? Instinct is one of the pointers to the existence of God. Number two, language. Psalm 19 verse 1 says that, Psalm 19 verse 1, it said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiworks. All right. Verse 2, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Daniel 7:14 says something. How many of you have realized that every language has a name for God? How can you tell me that something that has a name in every language does not exist? Daniel 7:14 said, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. So my emphasis is on so that what? All people and nations and languages will serve him. Even the most insignificant, let me not use the word insignificant. Even I'm talking about languages that nobody knows about. They still have a name for God. How can you say something that has a name in every language does not exist? Okay, so somebody said to this great philosopher that I don't believe in God. And the philosopher asked him, how do you know this thing you don't believe in called God? How did you come about it? I don't believe in God. It's okay to say I don't believe in God, but to say I don't believe God exists is another thing. He's there. You can decide and say I don't believe in him. Yeah, but there is God. To say there is no God is a crazy thing. Number three, morality. The third reason why God exists is this important argument that no scientists have been able to undo it up to now. No philosopher has been able to undo the principle of morality. Everybody say morality. Morality means right and wrong, good and evil. All right. Now, how do we know something is right or wrong? How do we determine what is good or evil? Law. If you go to a society where there's no law, everything is acceptable, isn't it? Everything is acceptable. It is only in a society where there is law that you can say this one is good, this one is evil. Let me give you an example. Before 2010, driving and talking on phone was not wrong. No policeman could arrest you for it. Why? There was no law that said you cannot drive and talk on phone. But today there's a law. I hope you are aware. Do you know why it is now a crime to talk on phone while driving? Because there is a law. So a policeman can arrest you today for driving and talking on phone. Whereas, as at 2009, you could drive and talk on phone. If you get an accident, it's your own problem. Now, anywhere you see a law, it is pointing to the fact that there is a lawgiver. There cannot be a law without a lawgiver. So in Ghana, Parliament is responsible for passing laws. So today, in our society, every human being is born with a conscience that tells you this thing is right, this thing is wrong. How many of you know about that? Yes. Everybody is born with a conscience. And the presence of a conscience in the heart and mind of every human being defines what is evil and what is good. And that is the basis for morality. When they say somebody is morally upright, it means the person does good, whether there's a law to that effect or not. For instance, there is no law that says that when you wake up in the morning, you see your parents, you should greet them. Is there a law like that? Can you be arrested for that? Yeah. There's no law that says be kind to your neighbor. Is there a law in Ghana like that? Can a police arrest you? No. But you know that humanly it is good to respect your parents, to greet your parents when you see them in the morning, to be kind to people, to do good, even if there's no law in this country. So morality is in human nature. Inherent in every human nature is morality. And morality points to the fact that there's a supreme lawgiver. And that supreme lawgiver is God. There cannot be law without a lawgiver. The fact that you feel this thing is wrong, that you did something, nobody is there, but you still feel bad. Because even though there is no law in our country that can get you arrested for what you did, deep within you, in your conscience tells you it's wrong. And that conscience is the law of your heart that governs you. And wherever there is law, there is a lawgiver. If you have a conscience, then there is God. Because that conscience didn't just happen by itself. Somebody put it there. So if somebody's arguing, well, there is no God, why is so much evil things happening? How did you come about defining what is evil? If you say there's evil, then there is also good. How do you differentiate between evil and good? On the basis of morality. But if there's morality, then there is a lawgiver. Who is he? I mean, no law just comes into existence by accident. Yeah. The fourth proof of the existence of God is scripture, the Bible. The Bible says there is God. Good. Now, if we can prove that the Bible is true and the Bible says there is God, then there is truly God. Do you accept my argument? Do you accept my argument? If we can prove that the Bible is true and the Bible is saying there is God, then there is truly God. Now, I can tell you today that there is so much proof that the Bible is true because there are many, many, many historical findings. And some of these historical, archaeological findings were made by historians who were not Christians. They did not try to find out these things because they are Christians. They are doing their own historical work and God crossed their path and pointed them to the truth of scripture. There are many, many, many historical records that prove that the Bible is true. Yeah, if you go to Israel today, there are still very many, many archaeological findings. Accurate archaeological findings. You know, the Bible is made up of 66 books written within the space of 1,600 years. That means some of the people who wrote the Bible did not know each other. Moses never met Peter. Samuel never met Paul. The Bible was written by 40 different authors. 40 different writers wrote the scripture at different places, at different times, within the space of 1,600 years. And yet, if you put all the books together, there is no place in scripture that contradicts the other. Why? Because there is one person behind the 40 writers over the space of 1,600 that was writing, and that person is God. So when you take the Bible, you are taking a book that is the most authentic, accurate. That is why the Bible is the all-time bestseller in the world. No book ever challenged it since time began. In fact, printing started with the Bible. Printing came about because of Bible. The first printing that took place was scripture. Yes. And this Bible, which has been proven historically to be accurate and correct. This Bible says there is God. Number five, proof of the existence of God, Jesus himself. Jesus said he's the Son of God. Jesus said there is God. Now, the argument is this. If Jesus truly lived in history and he truly died and he was buried and he rose on the third day and he said there is God, then there is truly God. Yeah. Jesus said he's the Son of God. And to prove that he's the Son of God, he will rise on the third day. Did he really even say it? Did he die? Did he rise from the dead? Today, history students will tell you that there are many, many, many non-Christian historians, Jewish historians. One of them is called Josephus. Josephus was not a Christian ever till he died. Josephus, you know, was a great history scholar in the early 80s. He wrote that there is historical records that there was once a revolutionary by the name Jesus who was killed. Yes, he didn't call him a savior, he said a revolutionary. So Jewish historians who are not Christians have records that there was once a man called Jesus who shook the whole nation of Israel and was killed. And his disciple claimed that he rose on the third day. Yeah, so if Jesus truly lived one time in history. And you know the interesting thing about Jesus? Time was dated after him. So if Jesus never existed, how come we have AD 2024? How come? How come we have BC 2000? BC, do you understand BC? Before Christ. So Jesus existed in history. He existed in history. He existed in history. So if he said there is God, and what he said about himself, that he would die, he will be buried. On the third day, he will rise from the dead. And it happened. Then there is proof. That is enough proof that there is God. Amen? That is enough proof that there is God. The sixth proof that there is God is this. This speaker didn't appear here by itself. Somebody put it here. The earth didn't just happen by itself. I wish I had time to talk about the Big Bang theory. Scientists said the earth happened by itself. They call it Big Bang theory. A lot of nonsense in there. The Big Bang theory has a lot of questions that any serious thinking person can ask. There is no effect without a cause on this planet. Anything you see somewhere was made happen by somebody. The existence of the world, there has to be someone who made it happen. I mean, do you know that? Let me say this to help you. You know, scientists have discovered today that the universe is expanding. They call it the law of relativity. In fact, it was propounded by Albert Einstein. If the universe is expanding, then if you go backwards, you can get to the point where it started. It is like drawing two lines going this way. If you draw, you trace that line back, you come to a point where it started. Who started it? I want to tell you, that person is God. The last one, I've talked about it once a while. The last reason is design and harmony, the universe. If this world happened by accident, a lot of things would have been happening by accident. One star would have fallen by now by accident. And please, if one star fall by accident, we are all dead. Oxygen would have shot on Earth by accident. Now, how can you tell me the Earth just happened when there's such harmony of the universe? The Earth rotating 24 hours every day since the beginning of time. And you tell me it's just accidental? The distance of the Earth from the sun is not accidental. The revolution of the Earth around the sun that caused 1 year, one revolution is a year, is not an accident. No shortage of oxygen in the atmosphere is not accidental. It's not accidental. It was deliberately created by God, an intelligent creator. And you see, when you go to a place and no human beings there, there's something you see, chaos. Do you agree with me? Yeah, chaos. If you go to a place where normal human beings are there, you see everything is orderly, like this church. Everything is orderly. No, like right now, we are all orderly. So everywhere you see order, then you must know there is an intelligent mind behind the order. Is the universe orderly? Yes, it is. Yeah, that's why I said, go read more about the universe. Read about the galaxies. Read about the stars. Read about the Earth. The Earth is one tiny spot in the universe. And when you read it, you will come to one conclusion. There is an intelligent mind. There's an intelligent brain behind the creation. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us and helping us to know you. We declare that we will serve you and worship you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, put your hands together for the Lord.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-331-1201. Remain blessed.